You know, the Bible is a book that can teach you many things from the same scripture. For example, the parables that Jesus taught, I know they have one main point, but there's many lessons that you can get from any of the parables that Jesus told when he was here on earth. And the Christmas story is no exceptions. Not only does the scripture that talks about when Christ was born tell us how God's Son took the form of a man, not only does it tell us that all the prophecy that was fulfilled when that happens, not only does it tell us the stories of the individuals that were involved, like the story we read this morning of the shepherds, but the stories that revolve around his birth also teach us some important lessons that we can use all year through. And so today, both this morning and tonight, we're going to look at Christmas stories of two different groups of people. This morning we're going to look at the shepherds, and tonight we're going to look at the wise men. Both of them played significant roles in the Christmas story. God had an important part for them to play in the time that Christ was born. And so we're going to look at not only the stories of those individuals, but we're going to look at the lessons that they teach us that are good for us to apply to our lives, not only at Christmas time, but all year through. And so this morning we're going to look at the shepherds. I'm going to preach a sermon entitled, They Came with Haste. They Came with Haste. And you'll see when I get to my second point why I entitled this sermon, They Came with Haste. And then tonight we're going to talk about the wise men. I'm going to preach a sermon, They Came In. They Came In. And you'll see, I think it's my second point tonight why I called it They Came In. So today we're going to be, this morning we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, and tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2. And most of us here this morning, we know the stories of the shepherds. We had it in Sunday school this morning for the junior boys. But they were watching their sheep on the hills by Bethlehem. The angel came, and they were afraid. And the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, I have good news for you." And the angel made this announcement, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And the angel told them that, hey, you'll be able to find this little baby that I'm talking about in a stable. He'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then the Bible says, as we read, that the sky was filled with a multitude of angels. And I told the boys, I said, there were hundreds, there were thousands of them. I mean, the sky, which was back in those days, you know, they saw some stars, but there were no street lights, there were no car lights. I mean, all they had was the stars and the campfire. But when those angels came on the scene, I believe the sky lighted up like the noonday sun. It was so bright as the angels filled the sky, and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Now, I want to point out four things about the shepherds this morning that tell us some things that we should be able to apply, again, not just at Christmas, but all year. All year. Number one, I point out to you that the shepherds were a group of people that exercised faith. They exercise faith. They heard the word of God. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." They believed it. They believed the message that God sent to them by an angel, and then they acted on it. We read it, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us.' And they came." And that is the pure definition of faith. Hearing the word of God, believing it, and then acting on it. Hearing the word of God, believing it, and then acting on it. That's why it's so important that we read the Bible. You see, God doesn't talk to us in an audible voice like he talked to the Israelites when he gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Doesn't do that anymore. Doesn't talk to us like he did the shepherds this night on the hills of Bethlehem, where he sends an angel and the angel speaks to him. I know there's some people that think they've been visited by an angel and that angel has told them something that's not in the Bible. I'm sorry, that's probably the pizza they ate. That wasn't an angel. God has told us everything he wants to know in this book. The book of Revelation says, don't take anything away from it and don't add anything to it. It's not going to say that in the book of Revelation and then God have an angel come and add something to it. Everything he wants us to have is right here in this book. And so he speaks to us through this book. This is his word. And what we need to do is just like the shepherds, we need to exercise our faith. Hear or read this book, hear the word of God, believe it, and then act upon it. That's what the Bible tells us. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And again, today, at Christmas time, and all the year through, we need to be just like the angels. We need to get into this book. We need to read it. We need to let God speak to us through this book. Then we need to believe it. Simply believe what God says in this book, and then act on it. Act on it. Some here today need to hear this book when it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Some here today need to hear this book and believe it when it says, the wages of sin is death. Some here today need to hear this book and hear it as it tells us that God loves us and that he sent his son when we were yet sinners to die in our place. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And some here today need to hear this book, hear that they're a sinner, hear that there's a penalty for that sin, hear that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, paid our penalty for us, and if we'll ask him, he'll save us. Save us from the penalty of sin. Save us from separation from God forever. Save us from hell. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And some here today need to hear the Bible and believe it. I know you may say, that's too incredible. I mean, it's too good to be true. I have a tough time believing. I can believe I'm a sinner. I mean, I can tell you my sins, but to believe that God would send his only son to die in my place, to pay the penalty of my sin, that one who knew no sin, that one who was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, that one who was the perfect, sinless, righteous son of God, I have a tough time believing that God's son would die for me. Let me ask you, do you think it was easy for the shepherds to believe that night? Huh? You think it was easy for the shepherds to look up in that sky and see that angel and say, Son of God is born? Messiah is born? Hey, I could understand if God sent angels to announce it to the king. I could understand if he sent angels to announce it to the princes or to the priest. But why? Why would he come to lowly shepherds? Why would he come to us? It's incredible. I have a hard time believing that this thing is true. I mean, if he's really the king, if he's really the Messiah, he would have made the announcement to somebody else. You think it was easy for them? It was just as incredible for them as it is for us to believe that God would send his son to die in our place. Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 3, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And I want to tell you this morning, even though it's hard to believe, even though it might be too good to be true, even though it is incredible, God has given each one of you and me enough faith to believe this book. When it says that we're sinners, when it says there's a penalty for that sin, when it says that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross that Bob and Virginia sing about, the old rugged cross, he's given to each of us enough faith to believe that. The question is, this morning, are you going to be like the shepherds and exercise it? Are you just going to take that little bit of faith that God has put in every single one of us and believe what this book says about sin and about the penalty of sin and about the fact that Jesus paid the price for our sin, and if we would ask him, he would save us? You have enough faith to believe that. God has given each of us enough faith to believe that, but will you act on it? Will you? Will you call upon him? Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, shall be saved. Say, well, that must be for everybody else, not for me. Do you see that in there? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't exclude anybody. It doesn't exclude you because of your sin. It doesn't exclude you because of your heritage. It doesn't exclude you because of your upbringing. Everybody's included. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That includes everybody. Everybody that will exercise the faith that God's given them to call upon Christ. Would you do it this morning? You'll call upon him this morning, he'll wash away all your sins. He'll dress you in the righteousness of Christ. He'll send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, to be your companion and guide. And then he'll make a place for you in heaven. I want to tell you something this morning. If these shepherds could do that, so can you. If these shepherds can believe enough to get up from keeping their sheep and go into Bethlehem and find the Christ child, so can you. So can you. Just exercise that faith that God has given you. I say to you, just like the angel said to the shepherds, unto you is born this day a Savior. And he'll save you this morning if you'll exercise your faith and call upon him. So they were a group of people, number one, that exercised faith. Number two, they came with haste. They came with haste, hence the title of my sermon. They came with haste. Verse 15 from chapter 2. Let's now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They didn't waste any time. They said, we need to go now. I think they had a meeting, but it wasn't like a Baptist meeting. It was just a quick meeting. Say, you, and you stay here and watch the sheep. The rest of us are going. That's all they had to meet about. And the Bible says they didn't say, well, let's go tomorrow. Or let's, you know, we'll wait till the sun comes up and we'll be able to find them better in the daylight. Or we'll wait for a few days. We're not planning on going back into town for the next few days. So we'll just wait till we go back into town. It's nighttime. You know, it's dark. We won't be able to find the way. How are we going to be able to find the stable that he's born in? Let's just put it off, wait, and it'll be easier sometime else. It's not really convenient for me to do it right now. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to come with haste. You need to be just like these shepherds. Here's what we say so many times. Well, preacher, I didn't plan on getting saved this morning. Well, maybe you didn't. But God planned on you getting saved this morning. You say, well, it's not convenient for me. I have something to do after church today. You listen to me. You still be able to do what you want to do after church. It ain't going to take you that long to get saved. Don't say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. No, you won't. If you won't do it today, you won't do it tomorrow. Say, well, I'll do it next week. No, you won't. If you won't do it, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. You say, and by the way, I'll tell you what. If I was lost and I was sitting out there and I was convicted that I was a sinner, you know what I'd do? I wouldn't wait for the service to get over. I get up right now, I'd come down the aisle, I'd say, hey, preacher, I need to get saved, and I'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how to get saved before I get done preaching. If I was lost and I could get in my mind a picture of hell, the price that I was going to pay without knowing Jesus as my Savior, I wouldn't take the chance that the service would end. I'd get up right now and say, preacher, I need to be saved. You don't even have to walk down the aisle. Just stand up. Raise your hands and say, preacher, I can't wait. I need to be saved right now. We're not promised another breath. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next day. Right now is the only time that God has given us. That's why the shepherds came with haste. They didn't put it off. They didn't want to miss it. And if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you may not know it, but you don't want to miss it. Don't put it off. Don't wait. You come right now. Now, I'll say the same thing to Christians. You're here this morning. You've been saved. Come with haste. You say, well, I'm already saved. What do you mean I need to come with haste? I mean, you need to get on and start living the Christian life and growing your faith. Huh? We got enough faith to be saved, but what God expects us to grow. If a little baby stays small all the time and doesn't grow and doesn't get stronger, something wrong with that little baby. We take him to the doctor and try to figure out what's wrong. God wants us to grow as Christians, and the way we grow is exercising our faith. He wants us to get into this book, hear the word of God, believe it, and then act on it. Base our life, live our life based on what it says in this book. Listen, he's not asking you to get out of the boat and walk on the water in the middle of the storm. That may come someday. But what he's asking you to do is get in this book, grab a promise, believe it, and then live on it. Amen. Live on it. And that's how you grow in your Christian life, and that's how you grow your faith. So they exercised their faith. They came with haste. Number three, they testified. They testified. Verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You get saved this morning. That's why we ask you to walk the aisle. You may get saved back at your seat. You can pray the prayer that you need to pray right where you're sitting. Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I deserve the penalty of sin. I believe Jesus died for me, and I'm asking you to save me right now. You can pray that right where you're at. But we ask you to walk the aisle to testify, to tell people what you've done. You get saved this morning, you won't have to say anything. I'll help you. I'll just say, I mean, you come up here and tell me, hey, preacher, I got saved. I asked Jesus to be my Savior. You don't have to say anything. I'll say it for you. Hey, so-and-so has come. They've asked Jesus to be their Savior. They want you to know about it. And we'll rejoice with you. But you know, we as Christians need to do the same thing. We need to testify. We need to make known abroad what God has showed and done for us. I am saved this morning. I have a God that provides all my needs. I have, and by the way, I'm not just saying that because it's in this book. I believe it because it's in this book. But I'm saying it because I tried it, and he did it. He provides all my needs. I have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me this morning. When I get so lonesome, I can't talk to anybody else. I can talk to him. When I don't know what to do, I can go to him, and he can show me the way. We need to testify that we have a God that keeps his promise. We need to make known abroad the sayings that he has shown us and that he has done. I know many of you could say, well, preacher, I could do that. I could testify as to what God has done for me. Well, now I'll tell you. Well, and by the way, if I stopped a service and I started back there with Kate and we just worked our way up and down every single aisle, I think most of you, if not all of you, could say, hey, I could testify what God's done for me. My testimony is a lot like you. He saved me. He provides my needs. I have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. And it's a wonderful thing when we do it in here, when we have times of testimony and we share what God has done for us. And it's wonderful in this place to do it. But you know what? It's more needful to do it out there. It's more needful to do it out there where people that don't know Jesus Christ can hear what God has done for us. I can just see the shepherds. I mean, I try to picture, I have a vivid imagination, as most of you know, and I just try to picture the shepherds as they left that stable in Bethlehem. I don't think they were reserved. I think they were excited. I think they went up to Peter. You'll never guess what happened. You'll never guess what happened to me. I mean, I was there watching the sheep, and this angel came, and he told us the Savior was born. And we went into, you won't believe it, we went into town. You awake, Bob? You are now. We went into town and we found him. I mean, the promise was true. We found that little baby in a stable, lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And what God told us was true. There's some people out in the world today that need to know that God's God. There's some people out there that live next door to you and you work with and you go to school with need to know that God is a God that not only makes promises, but keeps his promises. There's people all around us that we need to testify that God does exactly what he says and keeps his promises. So they testified. And then number four, now this is my last point. I want you to notice the attitude with which they did it. In verse 20, the Bible says, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Now, I mentioned this in Sunday school. World's in a mess. World's just in a mess. We're either in a recession or a depression. I know people are saying, well, we're starting to come out of it. Well, we'll see. I'm not an economist. I don't know. But we've been in an economic downturn. Many people in this room have a hurt or a heartache. And I got the privilege, I had the privilege of having lunch with a couple of our widows on Friday. And they were talking about how it still hurts. And I just flat out told them, it ain't never going to quit hurting. Just never going to quit hurting. One of them asked me, well, when do I quit crying? I told you, ain't never going to quit crying. Through time, it may get easier, but it's not going to ever. You're never going to quit missing them. You're never going to quit hurting. You're never going to quit crying. And people in this room have hurts and heartaches. There's people in this room that have been done wrong by other people. And if we focus on those things, if we focus on the world, the mess the world's in, if we focus on the economics, if we focus on the hurt and the heartaches that we've had, it's going to be easy for us to get discouraged. It's going to be easy for us to get depressed. But I tell you what, why would you focus on that stuff? Why would you focus on what's going on in the economy? Why would you focus on the mess the world's in? This world's not our home. I have a father that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. I don't care what the economy does. I have somebody that lives inside of me that knows how I hurt and is my comforter. My comforter. So I'm not going to focus on everything that's going on around me. I'm going to focus like the shepherds did on what God has done for me. I'm going to glorify and praise him for the fact that I'm on my way to heaven this morning. My sins have been forgiven. I stand before God justified, just as if I'd never sinned. I'm not going to focus about, you know, what the stock market's going to do. I'm going to focus on the fact that I have a promise from God that's not only in this book, but it's been proven to me over and over that if I seek him first, he'll add all these things unto me, the things that I need. Something to eat, something to drink, place to live, clothes to wear. Everything I need. It's not my responsibility, it's his responsibility. That's what I'm going to focus on. I'm not going to focus on the fact that somebody may have said something to hurt my feelings or overlooked me or all that other stuff. I'm going to focus on the fact that I have a friend in Jesus Christ who loves me forever and ever and ever and ever. Take your eyes off this world. Put them on what God has done for you. And let's be like the shepherds. Let's glorify and praise him for all the things that we have seen and that he has done. And then we can have that joy unspeakable and full of glory that the world cannot take away. Can't take away. Can't take away. So listen. You know Jesus as your Savior this morning? If not, you need to come right now. Just right now. We're going to sing in just a minute. But you need to come right now and say, "Preacher, I need to get saved. Somebody help me. I'll help you or I'll get somebody to help you." We'll show you from this book the verses that I quoted. And we'll show you how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian this morning, if you're a Christian, get off the couch. Exercise your faith. Pick a promise. God says, taste and see if I'm not good. He says, put me to the test. Try me out. That's what he says over and over again in this book. Pick a promise. Hold it up to me and say, I believe that promise. I'm going to live by it. And God will keep it. God will keep it. God will keep it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning, for this service, for your word. And I pray that as Father, now we come to this part of the service where we ask men and women and boys and girls to look at their life and look at their relationship with you, that you'll help us to look true. And I pray, Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that tonight they would come, and this morning they would come, and they would make that decision and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Father, we give this invitation over to you. We ask you to work. Speak to hearts. Speak to Christians that are here this morning. If we've not exercised our faith lately, help us to get up and do it. Just do it. Bless this time of invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.